Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study.
Mike,
am I on? Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. I don't know why I did it. But anyway, thank you everybody for showing up. I mean, we got a lot of deceased today. You know? I know some of them are still in Alaska. They probably come in late last night. And Jimmy got home yet?
No, he's with Dave.
Oh, I know.
He gets home when Dave does.
I know. I figure, is it, he hadn't drove in yet?
No.
Okay, so they'll be home today. But Dave is, he's a producer. And what's the name of that show, Jim? Do you know? It's not like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but it is. It's for somebody. One of the reasons they're up in Alaska is the fact somebody from, I believe, West Virginia, somewhere in that
neighborhood. Yeah, West Virginia.
They're going blind. And it's one of those things. It's kind of like a Make-A-Wish deal that Dave is directing. But they took the guy. He wanted to go up to Alaska and see something before he went totally blind. And so that's how this thing works. Dave's got his hands all out of things. Tower individual. But again, Gloria just told me that Mary Lou won't be here. She slipped and fell last night, broke an ankle.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure Richard's taking care of her there today. So anyway, be praying for her. And of course for Cindy, the lady who lives across the street from me with the pancreatic cancer. And again, this week she couldn't take her chemo. It seems like every other week she can. She takes it twice, and the next week she can't take it at all. So anyway, have her in your prayers. It's not good anytime. But anybody got anything they want to say up front? No? Okay. Yes, Jim.
My grandson, Dean, has migraine headaches, and I just appreciate your prayers for him.
Dean, migraine headaches. Let's be praying for him. Carol, do me a favor and cut that heater off.
I need to pray for Tricia, too. She's going to be gone this month on the road.
All month?
Yeah, basically, Tricia's fixing to go to summer camp and in Patrick Air Force Base for a couple of weeks. And then following up, she's going to Tampa, MacDill area for another week. So she'll be gone for 3 weeks. She won't leave until the 11th of this month. And we got a lot of people traveling around. Jerry's going to be driving up to Chattanooga to see his wife real soon, probably after the conference. Or we don't know yet, but he's going to be going. Joe, when are y'all leaving?
We're not.
Okay, that's good. I'm going to talk to you about taking a service.
Okay.
But anyway, is anybody going to Jack's conference up in Arab? If you can, try to make it. It starts Friday night. The rooms are furnished. The food's furnished. There'll be a lot of preachers going on up there. And but if you can, it's Jack Lockhart's conference starting on the 9th, 10th, and the 11th. I'm going to be coming back on the 10th. That's a Saturday night. But if it's as far as I think it is, and it's quite a ways for us, if I leave there when it's over with on a Saturday night, I'll be home about, I'm guessing, probably around 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm going to take one of the services, and that's why I need you to take one. I'm going to be a zombie, okay?
I can take them both if you like.
Well, we'll talk about it. But anyway, I want to get to this lesson here. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks. This is the third week. It's part 3 of Paul's second sending. Now, what I'd like to ask you, if you do not see this or if you're confused, let's don't proceed until you're not confused. This is by the scriptures, and what happens is most grace preachers do not know this. If they know it, they will not teach it. And why, I don't know, is you're going to clearly see it is in the scriptures. And if it's not, y'all can come back and say, show me that it's not, but it is. So, if you'll notice so far, we're talking about Paul's second sending. And what we've done, we've had to go over the 5 trips to Jerusalem that Paul made. You know, the first trip that we covered was trip number 5. That's when he got arrested and he wound up in Rome. But we also covered the trip in Acts chapter 9. We covered the trip in Acts chapter 11. We also covered the trip in Acts chapter 15 when there was a lot of problems there. So that just leaves only one trip, doesn't it? And this is the one that he had his temple vision on. The Bible calls it a trance. But he was in the temple when it happened. You can say a trance to be correct. Kind of like a temple trance. It's a temple vision, okay? So a trance and a vision to me is the same thing. I don't want to change the words of the King James Bible, and I'm going to. Now, at this time, so we know there's just one trip left, and whereabouts is it in the book of Acts? It's in Acts chapter 18. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 18, and I want us to take a look at verse 1, so you'll know where he's at. In Acts chapter 18, verse 1, Luke writes, he wrote the book of Acts, also the book of Luke, but in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, Luke writes, after these things, and you can read prior to that if I want to find out what those things are, Paul departed from Athens, that's Athens, Greece, and he came to Corinth, that's in Greece. I just wanted you to see where he was at when we were writing this thing. Now, I'm going to read a little further. I don't normally do this for this class, but this one thing we're talking about. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius in Rome had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, there was a tent maker, he abode with them, Paul did, and wrought. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned, I want you to see who Paul reasoned with. And he reasoned in the synagogue. There's a place in the synagogue. It was not outside the synagogue. Every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Who? The Jews and the Greeks, not you ungodly Gentiles. Now, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That, what is that? That's the gospel of God. Peter preached that also. That's all it was. And then, I want you to see verse 6. And when they opposed themselves, they couldn't hardly stand it. And blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood, talking to those people in the synagogue, those Jews, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I want you to see. He's been talking to the who? The Jew and the Greek. The Greeks are what? Gentile proselytes inside, and they bless the seed of Abraham. Now, it's just so clear here in verse 4, it's the Jews and the Greeks. Then he says, I will go unto the Gentiles.
Yep, that makes it clear.
Does everybody see that?
Amen.
Goodness gracious alive. Now,
so when he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and Ananias had touched base with him, and in Acts 9, I think it tells that he's going to go to the Israel and the Jews and Greeks and all that. So he hadn't really made a decision until right now that he was going to go?
No. Hold on where you're at. And let's go over and look at Acts 9, Carl.
When I read, that's what I get. What we just read.
You know, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, he says, but the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, that's Paul, Saul in the case, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, and the children of Israel. Now, that right there, he did. I want you to go over to Acts 26, because we're talking about this. Paul is recounting what happened on the road to Damascus. In verse 16, Christ told Paul in Acts 26, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things unto which I will appear unto thee. Well, that's called progressive revelation. He's going to appear to him quite a few times and give him something every time. Delivering thee, you, Paul, Saul, from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. That's Acts 9, and he's recounting it in Acts 26. Okay. When did he actually send him? After he had him schooled, after he had went over to Arabia. He spent some time, and we don't know, the Bible does not tell you how long he spent in Arabia, but we know the Bible says, and he came back, he spent 3 more years there in Damascus. So, in Acts, if you'll notice, from Acts chapter 9, around verse 32, I think, let me look again. I want to make this clear.
The last scripture was Acts 26 and 1.
16.
Yeah, 16. Acts 9, verse 31. Acts 9, 31 is the last you hear of the apostle. Well, he's not an apostle yet. His name is Saul right now. His name hadn't been changed. He hasn't been sent out. Even though Christ said, I'm going to send you to them. But from Acts chapter 9, verse 31, you skip all the way on over, and the next mention of Saul is at the end of Acts chapter 11. The last couple of verses, 29 and 30, is the next mention of Saul. So it just jumped over all that. And then over in Acts chapter 12, you can find out what's going on in here. But in 13 is when he actually sent him. Acts chapter 13.
You said 9 was the last mention.
Acts 9:31, he's mentioned last. Then Peter starts to be prominent in the scripture. And then in Acts chapter 11, the last 2 verses, he's mentioned there about taking alms because there was a dearth, there was a famine in the land. He's taking it over to those disciples, those not necessarily the apostles, but the apostles too, the disciples in Jerusalem, where they had sold all things, had all things coming. And the rapture didn't, not the rapture, but the second coming didn't take place. The tribulation didn't take place. Now they're starving over there. So they made up food and they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul so they wouldn't starve. The next mention, of course, is over here. So in Acts chapter, let me get back over to it. Acts 13. If you'll notice in Acts chapter 12, Paul went over there, but it's still talking about Peter. And if you'll notice in Acts chapter 11, 29 and 30, Acts chapter 11, 29 and 30. They went to Jerusalem to take the relief. The next mention of it is, of Paul, is in verse 25 of Acts chapter 12. This is their return trip. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So he's mentioned one time there. They had fulfilled their ministry of Acts chapter 11, 29 and 30. And now, in verse 25, it shows where they're leaving Jerusalem and going back to where they were at. Now, in Antioch. So in Acts chapter 13, we've got here, and it tells you in verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas. Well, Barnabas was he was part of the little flock at this time. Later on, according to Acts 14:14, he became an apostle right along with the apostle Paul. If you want to look it up, write it down. And Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They were prophets. Paul was not a prophet and a teacher. Paul was a teacher in this time period of the gospel of God, who Jesus Christ was, and that's it. No salvation whatsoever. But in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Cilicia. Now, that's where we're at as far as when he sent them, Carl. Acts 13, he sent him out. He was already preaching the gospel of God, which is not in the body of Christ. But in Acts 13, he started preaching the gospel of Christ. And his name was changed in verse 9. Did I help? Okay. Now. No, I want to make sure that it did. If it didn't, it didn't.
Going too fast.
Huh?
You're going too fast.
I'll slow down. It could be the coffee. Which I'll have another sip.
All right.
Now, we were talking about in Acts 18. Let's move back over there. Acts 18, I show you, was in Corinth. And then we was talking about in verse 6, where he said, Paul himself said, I will go unto the Gentiles. I will. Because the Greeks in the synagogue and the Jews, he had already been to them, and the Jews just got bent out of shape. So he says, this is what I'll do. I'll go to the Gentiles. But he didn't go then. Now, in verse 9.
What chapter?
18. Acts 18.
Okay.
The Lord spoke, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Christ also said this, the risen Savior, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You know, and Paul took that to heart. He realized, ain't nobody going to hurt him. I'm going to do what I want to do based upon what the Lord gave me in the revelations. I ain't worried about it because the Lord had already promised him. Don't you think if you'd have seen the Lord on the road to Damascus and he told you this is what I'm going to do, don't you think you would believe him when he says, ain't nobody going to hurt you? Yes, yes. The point I wanted to show you was verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Okay, that's what I wanted you to see. And we went a long way to get there in Acts 18:18. Now, let's look at this in Acts 18:18. And Paul, after this, tarried there. Where's he at? He's in Ephesus. Ephesus. And after this, Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Now, there's a reference on here, and I'm going to hold on where you're at here and go over to Acts 21 real quick. 21 23. We're going to come back and rehash a little bit. I want you to see what verse 23 says. And James is in charge of the little flock. Do therefore this, that we may say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. And Paul had a vow on himself. They shaved their heads in verse 24 as Paul did. Let's go back over to Acts 18. And in verse 19 of Acts 18, you can see now he came to Ephesus. He wasn't in there at the time I said he would, but he come. And he came to Ephesus. Do you realize in Acts 16 and 17, he never, the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at those scriptures, would not let him go into Asia?
Yeah.
Would not. There's a reason for that. We'll talk about it. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. Who? Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. They were begging him. They liked what he had to say. They wanted to hear more and more and more. And I want to look at this reference I've got here. Let's go and read Acts 18:20. You see, they were begging him to stay. And when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not. But bade them farewell. Those people in the synagogues. These at Ephesus, that is not the Ephesians that you came from. This is the people that blessed the seed of Abraham, who feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. I want you to hold on here. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And I want to show you what the feast was called. Verse 8. Paul says here in the Corinthian letter, the first, he says, but I will tarry. In other words, I'll stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. So we know back over in Acts 18, verse 21, he's talking about this feast that he has to go to. That's Pentecost. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. That's what it is. But I want you to see the attitude of those people that he was talking to in the synagogues, those Jews and the Greeks there at Ephesus. Boy, they really wanted Paul to stay and continue and reason with him and so forth. They didn't want him to leave. They desired that he stay longer. But Paul wouldn't agree, right? That's what he said. He says, I must keep this feast in Acts 18, 21 that we just read about. He had shaved his head and he had a vow and he was bound that he was going to Jerusalem and keep that feast. In Acts 18 again, verse 22. After he left Ephesus, he sailed from there. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, that's the temple vision. He had saluted the church. I'm going to read the next part of it, but we're going to come back. And after he had saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. He didn't hang around. Now let's go over, hold on there. Let's go over to Acts 22. And take a look at what happened in this temple vision. See, a lot of people try to, these theologians, they think they got their act together and they don't. You know, Acts chapter 9, we went to Acts 26 and we explained some things that Paul talked about in 26 that happened on the road to Damascus. But now in Acts 22, he's talking to some people. He is talking to some people. Now, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, I'm probably jumping out of my sequence, but I'm going to show you. Paul says, well, I'm going to back up to Acts 21, 39. He'd been bound, okay? That's another story. We don't want to get into that right now. He had been bound. But in Acts 21, 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, in other words, I ask thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. He asked those jailers or whoever had him bound, let me speak to the people. And when he had been given, had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and this is what Paul said, in verse 1 of Acts 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. For when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persuaded this way into the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And so he keeps on going now in Acts 22 as if what?
He didn't persuade, he persecuted, according to what I'm reading.
Okay, and I persecuted, not persuaded, but I guess that's one way of persuading, by persecuting. And I persecuted this way into the death. This way is Christ crucified, buried for the forgiveness of sins, buried and resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, the key there is according to the scriptures. This is not you. This is the gospel of Christ being taught to the Jew and the Greek first out of Romans 11:5. Now, What I'm saying is, we covered Acts 9 over in Acts 26, just a rehash of it. Now, what he's doing right now, up until we go down here, and he's still doing the same thing through Acts 22:16. It's the same trip. It's the same explanation that he did in 26, and it's the same explanation that was happening in Acts chapter 9. But when you get to verse 17, that relates back over to Acts 18:22. When he had the temple vision, it changed. This is it in Acts 22:17. And it came to pass that when I was come again, and that's why we went over those five trips, to find out when it was. When I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, he's talking about Jesus Christ and the risen Savior, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Hold on to right there. I want to go back over here real quick to Acts 18:22. That verse right there explains this. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, then what happened? He made haste, as the Lord said. He went down to Antioch. It doesn't describe anything that took place. He just made haste, according to Acts 22. Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. He did, and he went to Antioch, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And then he goes on down and he says, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the remnant of them that slew him. And this is what I want you to see of what Jesus Christ told Paul. People, I don't understand why they can't read this. And he said unto me, Christ said this to Paul, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He hasn't sent him to the far hence Gentiles yet. But he says, I will. So why have you got people out there preaching in Acts 9, it's the same gospel of Christ all the way to the rapture? It's just not so. Does anybody see not that?
Acts 18, what? Where are you?
I'm in Acts 22:21. What Christ told him, Jim, and he said unto me, Christ, depart, Paul, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. I will. It has not happened yet. To, you know, hold on to that.
So he's still in a trance at this point.
No, he was in the trance. Well, yeah, right there. I'm sorry. Yes, you're absolutely right. He's still in that trance. And that ended the trance, the temple vision, the temple trance, whatever you want to call it there. Mm-hmm. That ended it. I will. It's so important that you see, I will. He hasn't already. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles.
I got a question.
Sure.
I hope I don't throw you off on this one, but at what books in the Bible lines up with that scripture that is, he hasn't been to the Jews yet? To the Gentiles.
Well, here's, go over to Ephesians. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2. Well, actually, I'm going to go first. I want to go to verse 12 of verse 1. Paul has been preaching the gospel of Christ. And that's why it's so important to learn the pre-prison epistles, who and what they are, and the prison epistles. They're two different things as far as who he went to at that time. Here in the pre-prison epistles, he went to who? The remnant of Romans 11:5. It's the election of grace. And he got those at the end of the book of Acts, and then he moved on. Prison epistles is what we're looking at right this moment in Ephesians. And he said in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Ephesians that we, Paul and his entourage, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That entourage, including Paul, they trusted in Christ right here. Right here. It was the gospel of Christ. But things changed. Now, and we're going to get to it in the scriptures, but right now, it's changed. It's opened up to the entire world. The dispensation of the grace of God is there. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's not according to the scriptures. It was hitting God. We'll look at it. But he says, in whom you, Ephesians, also trusted. You also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells you who we were. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, wherefore remember that you Ephesians, Colossians, you remember that being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, and that's time past, is my thing going in and out?
No, you get it.
That at that time past, you were without Christ. We were without Christ, it said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You've never been in the covenants of promise. Having no hope, it says, and without God in the world. So you didn't have a hope. You were the ungodly Gentiles. I call them the wild dogs, but the ungodly Gentiles. These here are the pet dogs, and it's referenced in there as the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Okay, they had a hope. Well, we don't. Or we didn't, if you say that. But now, verse 13. It happened right here. In Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were far off, and that was us, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That did it. For he is our peace, hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And you can just continue to read there. But in Ephesians chapter 3, let's look at verse 8, or verse 6. That the Gentiles, and that's who he said he would send. The risen Savior said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I will send you to the Gentiles. This was already being preached. But this is not for you because you had that middle wall of partition out here. But and that's those ordinances, don't get me wrong. But in verse 6, what is this? He said that verse 6 of Ephesians 3, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body as the body of Christ and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 8, Paul says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. These people right here is according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says, according to the scriptures. You're not in the scriptures. You're not in prophecy whatsoever. But right here, it says unsearchable riches of Christ. Why does it say unsearchable? It's not in the Bible anywhere. It was only given to the risen, from the risen Savior, give it to only Paul. And he got it where? From the risen Savior. But there's a lot of things he got, and it was at different times. In Galatians 1, 11 and 12, it's pretty close. But I ain't saying that he got it right there. I think, that's a different story.
He got it.
But this is an unsearchable riches of Christ that you couldn't find in the scriptures. And, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Not hid in the scriptures, it's hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You can't miss that if you tried to miss that. Okay, where are we at? Anybody having a problem with it so far? If you are, we'll talk about it. Don't feel like you don't think I'm singling you out. I want to make sure that we get this going. And if you got a problem with it, let me know. Now, we looked at Acts 22, 17 and 18, right? Make haste, and that's where we left off. So, I want you to go over to Acts 18. Paul, if you remember, let me get back over to Acts myself. Acts 18. I want to read 22 again. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went to Jerusalem. No. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, the temple vision took place at Jerusalem. He went down to Antioch. He left Jerusalem and he goes down to Antioch. That's why the scripture said over there in Acts 22, make haste, get out of here. They will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So, you can see this was quick. Get out of there. Anybody not see that? Okay. Verse 23. And after he had spent some time there in Antioch, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Ain't that something? I'm telling you. Do you remember what happened back at the time of Acts chapter 15? Let's look at it. Acts chapter 15. In verse 1. We're not going to read all this. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. But in Acts chapter 15, Paul had been preaching. And in verse 1 it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question." That was a big dissension, a big one. So Barnabas and Paul, they go up to Jerusalem. Peter has a little bit of speaking going on, but he's not in charge of the little flock anymore. I believe it's the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, James. Because there's a James, it doesn't say he's the half-brother, but over in in Galatians chapter 1, let me show you. Hold on right here. I'm not through. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 19. "But other of the apostles saw I none," Paul says, "save Jesus, the Lord's brother." It specifically mentioned him there for a reason.
James.
What did I say?
Jesus.
Oh, man. No wonder you sure you clean my glasses this morning? I am having a problem.
You're going too fast and you're not actually reading what's there.
Anyway. "But other of the apostles saw I none," other than Peter, "saw I none save except James, the Lord's brother." So, I absolutely believe James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who is now in charge of the little flock. I do not believe that the church there in the little flock there in Jerusalem, is an apostate. You've got some people preaching that.
Galatians 2, it tells you not.
It does.
It puts it in order.
It does, absolutely. What time is it, Joe? I don't know. Oh, I've got a clock back there. Sorry about that. I'm not used to the clock behind Gloria back there. It will be raised up to set on the side of the wall, but it's hidden. It's camouflage. Okay. In Acts chapter 15, you saw that certain men came behind Paul and teaching them something else. But I will stress this. Anytime Paul taught the gospel of Christ, and that's what was being taught right in Acts 15, those people that trusted the gospel of the gospel of Christ, they are saved and they are sealed. No matter what, somebody comes behind them and blows them away with a different doctrine. You see what I'm saying? It's just like if somebody could come through here after you're saved and sealed, somebody could come in here and persuade you to start trusting in Islam. You're still saved. You're not going to have any works. This good, they're all going to burn up. But the fact of it, at the judgment seat of Christ, but the fact of it is you're saved. But it creates problems. It creates problems in the church. Now, so Paul goes on over there, and in verse 13, Acts 15, 13. Acts 15, 12. "Then all the multitude kept silence." This is at Jerusalem. "And gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." This Gentiles right here is not Gentiles, the ungodly Gentiles like you. Those Gentiles right here are Greeks. All Greeks are Gentiles, but all Gentiles are not Greeks. Verse 13, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto the litany here." But in verse 20, James says this, "But that we," him and whoever the apostles are that's there in Jerusalem, and maybe some of the disciples, "we write unto them, that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled from blood." And then over in verse 24, we're going to cover this again further on down the line. Verse 24. Well, actually, I want to read verse 23. Antioch in Syria and Cilicia. Verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain individuals which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. I absolutely believe James said the truth right there. I think it was a bunch of renegade people that believed so earnestly in the law that they went behind Paul and told them. I don't believe they're an apostate church whatsoever. Now, in verse 29, let's look at it again, of the same Acts 15. That you abstain from meats offered. He's talking about, this is what that letter said, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So that's what happened in 15. But there's something happened over in verse 40. Well, let's read 32 first. Acts 15, 32. Are we all there? And Judas and Silas, being prophets, now this is the church at Jerusalem, they were prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Verse 34. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. In other words, he stayed in Antioch with Paul. You've got to remember, Silas was a prophet. He was not an apostle in the little flock. But he stayed there, and he abided with Paul. He liked it. In verse 35, Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul says unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Anyway, right there, there was a dissension between Paul and Barnabas because of John Mark. I'm not going to read that. You can read it. But here's where I want you to go. And in verse 40, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, that's what happened in Acts chapter 15. So, I can probably show you, and I think I will. Let me go to Thessalonians. I want you to see this. In 1 Thessalonians, it's kind of funny, or it's not funny, but it's kind of strange when you're going through what you want to do, and then all of a sudden other stuff starts creeping in that you want to show. It's not part of the curriculum, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, Silas, and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians. I wanted you to see those three names. Go over to chapter 2. Verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. It didn't say as the singular apostle of Christ. He said the apostles of Christ. I see right there that it says Silvanus, but Silas and Timothy both became apostles. It's just like in Acts 14:14 when Barnabas became an apostle. It's there. So if you see differently, I guess that's fine. But I see that right there. Now, in Acts 16, what happened? Let's go take a look at it. Acts 16. Paul and his entourage in verse 6 of 16. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden, I want you to see that, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, then assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit would not let them not to go into Asia. He would not allow them to do that. In verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Now, So instead of Paul preaching in Asia, where Ephesus was at in Acts 16 and 17, and the majority of 18, they were forbidden to, but instead, he went to where? Another part of Europe. He went to Macedonia. And you know now why he was forbidden to preach. Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. But I want you to think about Peter. Peter, he wrote to who he wrote to and who the book of Revelation is written to. Jews, primarily in Asia. That's right. There's a very strong indication that the 12 apostles either, and it doesn't tell you that the 12 went over there, specifically Peter and John, but they had some form of ministry either through letters or correspondence of some kind in Asia. That's why, if you'll notice, Paul and Peter never went to the same people. Paul says, I won't build on another man's foundation. That's another foundation. But the foundation is Jesus Christ for both. I won't build it upon another man's foundation. But there's no actual biblical record of Peter and John or any of the 12 preaching in Asia. We just think that that's what it was. But the whole point boils down, the Holy Spirit would not let Paul preach in Asia at that time. He went into Macedonia, he went into Athens, Greece, and he wound up in Corinth, Greece. Now, he did go, as we read over in Acts 18, verse 19, and he came to Ephesus. We see that. And we noticed the, and we covered it, but we're going to cover it again. The attitude of the people at that time. The attitude of the people at Ephesus. And in verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Who was in the synagogue? The Jews and the Greeks. That's who you got to see. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not. They didn't want him to leave, but he says, I've got to go, and we already seen why. He goes to Jerusalem, he comes back to Antioch, and he backtracks all the way back over to where he was at in Ephesus, okay? Watch the attitude of the people now. And I think we'll take a break, and that's where we're going to start right back. Let's take a quick break.
You all there without a vehicle.
That's the jar you brought there. Yeah. I can keep that one and take the jar home.
Let me give it back to you. It's a gift that keeps us giving.
That's why I'm giving you the jar back. So, all right, y'all, there's enough. Treats back here. You can come and help eat some.
Hey, Carol, how old were you yesterday?
61.
Really?
Yeah, I made it. Yeah, made it past 60.
Did you do phone work?
It's just another number. I'm awake. That's all I
know.
There you go.
There you go. My question was,
well, the guy that works says, I love
that's right. That's right.